Please be seated. I recently heard the writer Kristen Schell speak at a conference. She may not be on your radar, but I'm pretty sure if you heard her speak, you would want her to be your friend. She wrote a book titled The Turquoise Table, and she has sparked a quiet movement. She may also likely be the topic of many a homeowners association meeting. You see, the book that is based on Schell's experiences after she placed a large picnic table painted bright turquoise in her front yard in Austin, Texas. She did it because she was pretty sure it's what God wanted her to do. She had been rumbling with how to serve God, but she was stuck. She was a stay-at-home mom, and she felt a call to mission, but that did not seem a possibility for her with a large family rooted in Austin. And then she had a picnic table delivered to her house for a backyard barbecue, and she knew what she was supposed to do. After the barbecue, she painted it a lovely shade of turquoise and put it smack in her front yard. One morning, she took her cup of coffee and her laptop out there, and she started working. Pretty soon, what she had hoped would happen did. She started to meet her neighbors. At first, it was a casual hello as someone walked by with their dog. But in time, her turquoise table became a meeting point for people in the neighborhood. People really started connecting. They sat down together. Really got to know each other. Everyone was welcome. Now, there are turquoise tables in all 50 states, and our own Brantley Holmes has one right in her front yard, too. It's not painted turquoise, but that's okay. It seems that being together at a table is a good place to start. Schell speaks about the transformative power of being together at the table. What it has done for her and many others who have followed her lead. Being human comes with lots of needs. Thankfully, many of us here are affluent enough to have the majority of those needs met without much ado. We have food, shelter, clothing, medical care, education. But connecting with others, knowing that we belong, believing that we matter to someone else, that cannot be bought. She has started a small grassroots front yard movement that at its core declares that all of us belong at the table. In today's gospel, Jesus speaks to us about tables. He's in a little bit of a contrarian mood. He's not playing around. He is not making nice. Just before the story we heard today, Jesus has healed people on a Sabbath. This was considered an absolute sin in his time. No work was to be done on the Sabbath. It was the Lord's day. And in our humanness, somehow that got translated into not even being able to heal others, help others on that day. Jesus tells everyone that their ideas of timing and etiquette and decorum and hosting are just plain stupid in the kingdom of God. Don't claim a spot of honor at the table, Jesus tells us. He couches it by reminding us that we risk embarrassment if we were asked to give a more important person a spot at the table. But I get the sense that Jesus is just continuing on in his contrarian demeanor. He has a point to make. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. It's as if Jesus is taking us by the shoulders and saying, know your place. You know your place with me. Quit trying to crowd someone else out. There's enough room for everyone. There is no need to claim a spot of honor at God's table. Jesus has claimed that spot for us all. There's a place for you. There's a place for me. There's a place for our neighbors. There is a place for all of us, every single one of us. He goes on rattling the original hearers of the story and us too. Jesus says that our guest lists for our parties are for the birds. We invite people to show off and to gain favor. Not acceptable, he says. Invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. All those people were folks who in Jesus' day were considered somehow unclean or somehow unworthy of blessing, somehow out of favor with God. And we can go ahead and add to that list the folks we are called to pay attention to in the letter to the Hebrews today, those who are in prison and those who are tortured. It sounds ridiculous in a way to our ears, right? How many among us believe that God has forgotten the poor, those whose bodies who have betrayed them, those who are sick or infirm, or those in prison or being tortured? Jesus declares God's favor on all those who, for whatever reason, seem to be denied a seat at the table. We've heard this countless times before. But for me, at least, the concept is not exactly grafted into my heart, as the colic says. It's not muscle memory for me always. The other day, I turned away from someone whom Jesus has claimed a seat at the table for. I did it in the comfort of my own living room, the home where I live with running water and food in the pantry and air conditioning and a comfy sectional with an antique Persian under my feet. On the TV screen appeared the image of a little girl, and she was wailing. She was wailing because when she got home from school that day, her mother and father had been taken into custody for violating immigration laws. My first reaction was to gasp, and tears filled my eyes, and I covered my mouth. You may think I'm dramatic, and I can be, but I'm a mother, and that was a baby girl, and she was in pain. But what I did next shames me. I turned it off. I looked away. I turned my back. I'm not speaking about the politics of this. I'm talking about who Jesus was asking me to be when I saw this, when I saw that little girl. I know that God expects something different of me. I just didn't know what to do. Today's colic reads in part, Lord of all power and might, graft in our hearts the love of your name. Increase in us true religion. Bring forth in us the fruit of good works. I once watched a woman grafting a tree. It involves cutting a piece of two plants and fitting them together to make them grow together. Both of the trees have to be broken and exposed for the process to work. God did not make my heart to shrink, but to be cut open, and to graft upon it every single one of us who is called to sit at his table, including that little girl, to see everyone whom he has made with their desire to be known and to be loved and to belong. He made my heart to be grafted to that little girl. I do not know how to solve the problems of this world. My voice cannot change that little girl's pain or make countries in Central America more stable so that people do not have to leave and take risks that few of us could imagine. But my heart can be broken open and changed. I can graft God's love into my heart that wants to turn away. And that is a place to begin. God has given us hearts for just this purpose. He has established our belovedness. He has rooted it in Jesus. The table has been set, and no matter what we as humans and our fear and fretting do, when we start making seating charts and put down place cards and set places of honor and cross people off guest lists, God will have none of it. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Don't forget to set a big table, a crowded table, like the one set for us. And maybe, just maybe, the fruit of good works that God can bring forth in us is that we can graft some of his infinite love into our hearts and let it grow, and we might just learn to be a little like the angels too.